Good morning.
Good morning.
I think it's about time we get started, so I've got a few announcements for everybody today. First off, I wanted to welcome everybody this morning, especially the folks that are on our live broadcast that are listening to us around the world, actually. We're thrilled to have you as part of our congregation this morning. And if anybody does have questions, need some answers, be sure to go ahead and give us a call at the church number, and we'll be glad to get back to you. All right, in our regular bulletin notes this morning, we want to keep in mind our prayer list. Of course, we're always thinking about Naoma and Dustin, and they're both here today. We're thrilled to see them and glad they're able to be with us. We're going to keep Ken and Sandy White in our prayers. Josh Blair has been having some health issues, and we're thrilled to see him here this morning. So be sure to keep them in your prayers, and as always, we have many of our number that can use a prayer from time to time. Keep in mind all our shut-ins. We have Rose Beatty, Catherine Wright, Evelyn Belt, Judy Mayberry, Jack and Millie Keen. So there's a lot of folks that we can reach out to and make them feel like we are still trying to stay in touch and reach out to them, please. There's a note in here also, Kino Shrum with the School of Evangelism is going to be coming to Harrisburg on Saturday, July 25th and Sunday the 26th, so be sure to mark your calendars for that weekend. I don't know exactly what he's going to talk about or how much time it's going to be, but please keep those dates open if you can. Let's see, we've had a few birthdays. A few folks have already aged on us over this past week in the month of February, but Teresa McMillan is having a birthday on February 12th, Evelyn Belt on February 16th, Odell and Kim Williams will be having an anniversary on February 19th, and Josh Blair is going to be having a birthday on February 28th. So keep all those folks in mind, and be sure to wish them a happy birthday and happy anniversary. Wanted to let everybody know, next week is our third Sunday. Guess what that means? Potluck. Hey, yeah, potluck. And guess what? It's in February. So what do the men usually do in February? We get to cook. So everybody keep that in mind. If you're coming for the potluck, men, you got to cook something. So keep your, find a recipe somewhere in your wife's stuff, you know, whatever it takes to make something up. Men's meeting will follow. Usually that's about 1 to 1:30. Is when we get started. So men, be sure to keep that in mind. We do have a new contact list for the Blairs on the back table. Be sure, if you don't have one, to get one. And also, there may be some folks that don't have certain people in their binders. If you need another updated sheet from anybody in the congregation, please ask James McMillan or myself or Doug. One of us will be able to get that sheet printed out for you. Always want to keep in mind, for visitors, we do have attendance cards, and we want you to go ahead and fill those out. And if anybody has prayer requests, you might want to put that on those as well. Put them into the collection plate when it's passed. All right. As far as order of worship today, make sure I turn the page. I want to get this right. All right. We have an evangelism prayer by David Morse. The song leader will be James Miller. Charles Wall will have our opening prayer. Lord's Supper will be with James McMillan and Jamie Poe to assist. Brent Volkert has the scripture reading. It'll be Matthew 9, verses 36 through 38. Doug will have our sermon. And then the closing prayer will be James Oliver. I don't think Lee's here, so James Oliver will take that one. Any other things that we need to talk about, or any announcements that need to be made by anybody? No? Okay, let's go ahead and start our service.
Something new, isn't it? So, okay. So, if you got your card with you, pull that out. This is a card, and if you don't have one, that's okay. Make sure that you take one today from the back of the table there. It's a Who Is My Neighbor card, and we're supposed to be filling out names of people we want to pray for that God's Word might reach them and they might become Christians. So people that we're reaching out to about that. So we're reaching out to people who are new movers. We're reaching out to people who are had a challenge in their life, someone who's fallen away. Lots of reasons we might have them on our card, but we're gonna start praying about them specifically during every service we have. So right now, so I want you to, if you have your card, get that out and look at those names. We're not going to mention them specifically. We're just going to pray about the general situation there, okay? So let's all go to God in prayer. Father in heaven, we're thankful for this opportunity, Father, to be thinking about those in our circle of influence that we know about and that we're concerned about their souls, their spiritual condition, Father. Father, there are many that have suffered the loss of a loved one. Someone perhaps has welcomed a new child into the world. Someone who's moved new to our area, Father, and we'd love the opportunity to visit with them, to share your word with them. Father, for those that have some kind of physical challenge, they're sick or perhaps shut in, Father. There are many people that are in our lives, Father, that we know of that have challenges, Father. We want to uplift their name to you. Father, we pray that this whatever they're going through gives us an opportunity to reach them, Father, to reach them not with just anything, but to help reach them with your word, Father. Help us to be people who are looking for opportunities, Father, because the harvest truly is white. The fields are white unto harvest. Help us, Father, take advantage of these opportunities. We pray for the challenges these folks have, but Father, we pray for that they might, through these challenges, through these celebrations, through these critical times that they may be going through, Father. We pray, Father, they are open to you, they're open to your word, and that we might be diligent in trying to look at those openings and try to take full advantage of it to introduce them to Jesus, your beloved Son, that can save their souls. That's our most important work, Father, and we want to be busy about doing that. Bless our efforts. Bless each one of us that are sending cards or making phone calls or going to be doing visits, that are offering prayers, Father. Be with each and every one of us as we strive to do your will. Bless us and bless those that we're thinking about. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Our first song selection this morning, Lord, We Come Before Thee Now. This is song 419 for anyone that's following along in our hymnals. Lord, We Come Before Thee Now, song 419.
Lord, we come before Thee now, at Thy feet we humbly bow. Oh, do not our soon disdain, shall we seek Thee, Lord, in vain. Shall we seek Thee, Lord, in vain. Lord, on Thee our soul depend, if compassion now descend, fill our hearts with Thy rich grace, tune our lips
The song that we will sing before our opening prayer this morning, Count Your Blessings. This is song 118 for anyone following along in our hymnals. Count Your Blessings, song 118.
When upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one, count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one, count your many blessings, see what God hath done. Are you ever burdened with the load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you are called to bear? Count your many blessings, every doubt will fly, and you will be singing as the days go by. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. When you look at others with their lands and gold, think that Christ has promised you his wealth untold. Count your many blessings money cannot buy, your reward in heaven nor your home on high. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. So amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged, God is over all. Count your many blessings, angels will attend, help and comfort give you to your journey's end. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done.
Heavenly Father, so many blessings we get each day. One of the greatest blessings this morning, been able to come together to worship you, the true and living God, as your law, as your will requires we do. We're mindful of those, Father, that are not able to fill their pews, many that have been on the sick list and not able to get out for many months, some for years. As Brother Miller mentioned this morning in his prayer, those who are shut-ins are, and what a phone call from the preacher, from anybody else, means to those that's like that. A phone call means lets them know that they have not been forgotten. We pray, Father, for this great country we live in. We pray, Father, that nothing will ever be done to take away our religious freedom, our right to vote and do the things we normally do that our Constitution provides. We pray, Father, for those in the world today that are having problems. We pray you'll help them to get over those problems, get back to their normal way of life. Those on the East Coast, Father, that's going through this terrible snowstorm and ice storm, bless them, Father, and help them back to their normal feet. Be with us, help us, Father, to go through life recognizing that you are the greater, you are the God of heaven, and your Son is our Savior, and your Word is our direct line to heaven. May we recognize, Father, what a great joy it is to have these things in the heart, that what we great hope we have, as Paul said in Hebrews 6:19. We pray for you, bless Doug this morning as he breaks the bread of life, and this evening again as he preaches to us. We pray, Father, that you'll help those in our community that's never known you, that in some way they might be touched with the healing hand and come out and accept your word and worship with us. Be with us, Father, as we go through this life. Be with us as we go through today, and you bless us and bring us back tonight
at 5, and this evening, and then Wednesday evening at 6. Help us all to be strong, Father, and never give up the faith. Forgive our sin in Christ's name. Amen. Amen.
Before we commune together, we will sing the song, Lead Me to Calvary. This is song 384 in our hymnals. Lead Me to Calvary, song 384. For those following our hymnals, note that we will sing verses 1 through 3, omitting the fourth verse. Lead Me to Calvary, 384.
King of my life, I crown thee now, thine shall the glory be. Lest I forget thy thorn-crowned brow, lead me to Calvary. Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony.
Here gathered today to worship God, sing praises to God, pray to God, and part of that is these emblems that are before me. These emblems represents that body that held on that cross. The reason I say it's held there is because he was willing to hold it there. He was there so that you and I might have the opportunity to be with him in heaven. He graciously sacrificed himself for each and one of us today. For a man like that, willing to give all, we should be willing to give all back to him by worshiping and as we do our daily life by imitating him. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we want to thank you at this time to bless this bread that represents that body that was on that cruel cross. The broken body in such a way of the beating and the scourging and the humiliation that he had to go through just so you and I will have a chance to be with him in heaven. This was a great act for him and even a bigger act for us to follow his will. This is our prayer in Christ's name. Amen.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, at this time we recognize the sacrifice that you sent your Son to the cross to die for our sins, and the sacrifice that he made to willingly go, and what that must have been like for you as a father and him as a young man to realize what had to be done and be willing to do it is something that most of us can't fathom. But we think back to that day and the blood that was shed on that cross for the remission of our sins, that this cup represents that blood that was shed on that cross. We just pray that we can try to grasp the magnitude of what that meant, what it meant for us, the everlasting life, the never experiencing of death that we have as Christians. These things we thank you for, and we ask in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. That concludes the Lord's Supper. But while we're gathered here conveniently, we're going to take up a collection for the work here at Harrisburg, for the work at Harrisburg, and throughout our community, and all that we need. Our Father in Heaven, we do want to thank you for the many blessings you've given us. We at this time want to give back a portion that we've earned. We know all things come from you, Father, and our abilities. So we pray that each and every person gives generously because it all belongs to you, and that in order to further your will, we need the desire to be part of that, part of the giving to, in order to give to one another your sacred word. This is our prayer in Christ's name. Amen.
Our next song selection this morning, All the Way My Savior Leads Me. So this is song 22 for anyone following in our hymnals. All the Way My Savior Leads Me, song 22.
All the way my Savior leads me, what am I to ask beside? Can I doubt his tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith in him to dwell. For I know whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. For I know whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. All the way my Savior leads me, through his winding path I tread. Gives me grace for every trial, feeds me with the living bread. Though my weary steps may falter, and my soul of thirst may be, gushing from the rock before me, lo, a spring of joy I see. Gushing from the rock before me, lo, a spring of joy I see. All the way my Savior leads me, all the fullness of his love. Perfect rest to me is promised in my Father's house above. When my spirit cold immortal wings its flight to realms of day, this my song through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way. This my song through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way.
If you would at this time mark our song of encouragement, that song that we will sing after our lesson this morning, Are You Washed in the Blood, song number 50. Are You Washed in the Blood, song number 50. That's an encouragement hymn that we will sing after our lesson this morning. Once you have that song marked, the song that we will sing prior to our scripture reading and lesson, 833, Ring Out the Message. Ring Out the Message, song 833.
There's a message true and glad for the sinful and the sad. Ring it out, ring it out. It will give the courage new, it will help them to be true. Ring it out, ring it out. Ring out the word o'er land and sea, till far from Jesus many live in sin.
Isn't it good to be here today?
Amen.
It is.
Let's read a scripture for today's Bible lesson. Matthew chapter 9, verses 36 and 38. If you're following along in the Pew Bible, that's on page 857. The Bible reads, "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest.'"
Well, good morning. You know, we've been talking about the controversial evangelist Jesus over the last couple weeks, and we want to pick that up, and this will be the third part of that series, but this will also be the last part of this particular series that we're talking about this. But remember what we talked about Jesus being controversial, right? Is that he went into Samaria, where Jews did not go. He went and talked to a Samaritan woman, which the Jewish men would not do. And he did it because he cared about those people just as much as he did about everybody else. And so as we continue in this lesson today, we're going to be reading from chapter 4 as we go along. But here we find that Jesus took advantage of a spiritual opportunity at the cost of the physical loss. Remember now, last lesson, what we talked about was that when Jesus was talking to the woman at the well, she said, "There's supposed to be a Messiah coming." And Jesus looked right at her and said, "I who speak to you am he." And so Jesus had declared to her that he was the Messiah of God. And now, as we continue on here, let's read verses 31 through 34. "In the meantime, his disciples urged him, saying," okay, let me stop again. The woman went down. After he talked to her, she left and went back to the village. And the disciples had been in the village coming back with food for Jesus. Okay, we'll try this again. Verse 31. "In the meantime, his disciples urged him, saying, 'Rabbi, eat.' But he said to them, 'I have food to eat of which you do not know.' Therefore the disciples said to one another, 'Has anyone brought to him anything to eat?' And Jesus said to them, 'My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work.'" So here Jesus is, as he had been throughout, as he had been talking to the woman at the well, remember he said that, "I am the living water." And she said, "Well, if that's so, give me this living water so I will never get thirsty again." And now Jesus is turning that same, in a way, idea to his disciples. They said, "We've got food for you." And Jesus said, "Well, I've got food that you did not know about." He's talking about the spiritual relationship with his Father. And verse 34, "My food is to do what? The will of him who sent me and to finish his work." Now, I find this last phrase here, "and to finish his work." What did Jesus do? I mean, what was his work that he had come to do? Well, he came to seek and to save the lost, right? We just partook of the Lord's Supper in remembrance of that sacrifice. Jesus came to sacrifice and lay down his life for all of us so that we could have eternal life. Jesus came to finish his work, which was on the cross and the resurrection, so that we can be a part of that, so that we can have the living word that Jesus was. Well, Jesus believed that there are always souls ready for harvest. And sometimes we don't see that. You know, sometimes we don't see that the souls are ready for harvest. We see that, oh, what's the use? What chance do we have about bringing the lost to Christ? But God says there is a reason. Jesus did in verse 35. "Do not say, 'There are still 4 months and there comes the harvest.' Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest." And I could just imagine the disciples looking around and saying, where are the wheat fields you're talking about, Lord? They were probably maybe looking for something physical again. But what Jesus was seeing is that as his disciples came back and the woman had gone down, that the people from the village were coming up to him. That was the harvest he was talking about. He said, you didn't even do anything here, and yet the harvest is ready to be harvested. The people are ready to come to God and ready to see him. You know, sometimes we can't, we have to stop seeing with our eyes. We have to stop believing and seeing with our hearts and our minds that are trusting in Jesus Christ. Faith is, we walk by what? Faith and not by sight, right? God doesn't want us to walk by sight. He wants us to walk in faith in him, that he has the answers. And if God says there are people that are ready to be saved, then we need to see that the fields are white on the harvest, just as Jesus saw the Samaritan village coming up to him. And Jesus saw joy as he saw, I thought about this, he saw joy in both those that were the ones that was going to win the souls and those of the soul that was going to be won. It's one of the greatest joys that there are, that I have had in my life, is helping someone to come to know Jesus Christ. Sit down with a Bible study with them and have them learn the good news about Jesus Christ and come to him. Put their hearts and their souls into his hands. In verse 36, Jesus says, and he who reaps receives wages, and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. Well, you think about the farmer. When you reap the harvest, you see today, in our world today, we see these great big combines, right? Whether it's wheat or corn or other things that is being harvested, and just huge process of reaping, and these big trucks being filled with, if in this case, if it's wheat, being filled with wheat. I grew up in the mid-states where there's a lot of wheat farming taking place, and you see these, it's just amazing, these big combines, and usually it's not just one combine in the field, is it? It's multiple combines that are out harvesting in these huge wheat fields. Well, Jesus says, if you want to do what's good, he who reaps receives the wages, you're going to, that's why they harvest, right, their wheat, so they can sell it. And he gathers fruit, though, for, what are we talking about? Again, spiritual. We're talking about eternal life. What is the most important thing that we can gather is souls to God for eternal life. That both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered, right? And God brought the increase. So we do this all together. We're doing this all together so that we can harvest the fields for Christ. And let people know and come to know that we can rejoice together. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about God working through us, that this joy can take place for us. Well, Jesus recognized, therefore, that some conversions required more time and more than one teacher to take this down and make sure that it's taking place. Now, we have to realize what Jesus has said here. He said already that the part that we usually think about, the planting and the sowing, he says, I've done that. He did that with a woman that came to the well and sent her back to the village. And she told them, this man has done everything that I said, you know, he told me everything that I knew about my life. And so Jesus had planted the seed. Jesus had got it all started. And now the harvest was coming to meet them. Well, it's not always that easy for us today. But we still need to be planters. We still need to be watering with the good news of Jesus Christ and the life that is him. We need to be doing that with love and compassion and care as we reach out for people. And so Jesus said in verses 37 and 38, for in this saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap for that which you have not labored. Others have labored and you have entered into their labors. Think about all the preparation of history and time that came up to the point of Jesus Christ. There were prophets that went back all the way to Isaiah and Jeremiah, even went back farther, much farther than that. But that was 600-700 years before the time of Christ. we know how much prophecies were made there. Also in the Psalms, many prophecies were made about Christ that came true. All these prophecies were preparing the Jewish people, the people to receive the message of God, to receive the message of Jesus Christ. And then as time went on, the Bible tells us at exactly the right time, Christ came and died for us. God knew when the time would be right for him to come. And God knows what's going to be right for us. He says, and so what we have to do is that we have to sow and we have to reap. But remember that the reaping is really not up to us. It's up to God. Our part is the planting and the watering and the sowing and the loving and the comparing and teaching. He says, others have done their work and you have entered into their labors. You get to share in what others have done. You know, that's what happened with Jesus. I think about, as we had communion today, I thought about, you know, the thoughts of Jesus and how he knew what was going to happen. In the garden, he knew. That's why he said, God, if this is possible, let this cup pass from me. When God did not say the cup is going to pass from you, Jesus said, God, I trust you. He stood up and waited for the people to come and arrest him. Even at that point in time, even I think that the arresting people did not know what was going to happen to Jesus. But Jesus knew. He knew and was ready and prepared to do what was right. And he went forward with it and did it. He fulfilled all righteousness and completed the work that God had given them to do. Therefore, Jesus, at this point in time, as all this was taking place, the many men of the village were coming forth up to the hill to see him. He's been teaching his apostles. Now, Jesus rearranged or changed the schedule, if you will, about what was going to happen because there were souls that were at stake. Sometimes we've got to rearrange our lives and rearrange our schedule so that we can be ready to do what God wants us to do. In John chapter 4, verses 39 through 42. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified. He told us all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with him, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. Then they said to the woman, now we believe, not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Remember, she came back and says, could this be the Savior? You know, could this be? And she told him these things, and some of them believed because of that, enough to at least come out to see Jesus. And they invited him, come to our village and tell us more. As far as we know, Jesus did not perform one miracle while he was there, except the miracle of teaching them the truth. He taught them about who he was, that he was the Savior of the world, that he came to redeem the world and redeem them. For a Jew to say that I came to redeem you as a Samaritan was earth-shattering for them. Do you realize this is some of the first people that Jesus really laid out that he was the Savior of the world? People that the Jews despised. Jesus did this because he cared for them. He changed his schedule. He changed his life here. I mean, the schedule would sound like he was going to just go here and go on through Samaria and get to where he wanted to go. No, he took time to be with them. He took time out of his busy schedule for them. And it paid off. He says, now we believe that he is the Christ, indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. What a pronunciation here. What a statement that is being made, that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. It's our opportunity, you see, to tell people about the Savior of the world, so that they can know about him, so they can come to salvation, so they can come to believe in him, even as the Samaritans did, even as we have had that blessing. So Jesus, and what we're going to do this morning before I conclude this lesson here this morning, what we're going to do in just a moment is that after we have our invitation and closing prayer, I want everybody again to be seated because we're going to take it to the next step of what we're doing in our plan to reach out to people. So be real patient. It won't take long. I told James I'm preaching a shorter sermon today so that we'd have time to do this. And I want you to be a part of this. It's very important that we all are a part of this. So as we conclude this lesson this morning, we see that the invitation is the same for us as Jesus was making for them, to come to him. They heard Jesus. They spent 2 days hearing about him. Now, it doesn't seem like very long, maybe, but they were convinced and convicted of who he was. If Jesus told them he was the Messiah, he came and showed them he was the Messiah, and they became convinced. They believed and put their faith in Jesus Christ. And to put one's faith in someone means that faith always includes obedience. And so they were willing to do what Jesus called them to do. Will you truly hear? The question for us today is that will we truly hear about Jesus and put our faith in him? Even as Christians today, will I really put my faith in him? Will I walk by faith and not by sight? If you're not a Christian, will you be obedient to him and be baptized into him for the forgiveness of your sins so that you can have your sins washed away and be new in him? Won't you come to Jesus now as together we stand and sing?
You've been to Jesus for the cleansing power. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood of the Lord? In the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb?
Are your garments spotless, are they
white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood? In the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? When the bridegroom cometh, will your robes be white, pure and white in the blood of the Lamb? Will your soul be ready for the mansion's bright and be washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless, are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless, are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
In a moment, we'll be dismissed with a prayer. We want to keep in mind all those that are on our prayer list. We want to keep encouraging them. Start with the names that are in your bulletin. Continue with the names that you have on your list, and be diligent in your prayer life this week. And if you come of others that you know of that need prayers, make that known to the church, and we'd like to do our best to help your prayers with our own. Remember, as Doug said, we've got some things that we're going to do after our prayer, so we'll remain seated for just a moment. Anything further before we pray? Brother James.
Let's pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful day you've given us to come and turn out to hear another portion of your word, sing songs unto you and praise thee. And we ask that you be the ones in this congregation, the men and the women that do things behind the scenes and the ones that do things all together, that we can make this a more joyful place to come and worship you. And we ask that you be the ones that make decisions, hard decisions in this congregation, and that you watch over them and guide us to do what is right, to be pleasing unto you. And we pray for the ones that are not here this morning, the ones that are shut in, the ones that are sick and afflicted, the ones that have been mentioned in our announcements. And we ask that you be with these individuals, and if it be your will, that you could restore their much wanted health and bring them back into the congregation in the fold here. And help us to not forget these individuals and always communicate with them and try to help them. And we pray for the families that have lost loved ones, and we ask that you comfort them in their time of need. And we pray for the ones who haven't yet responded to your invitation, have not found your plan of salvation, and we ask that you help us to have a ready recollection of your plan of salvation to convey this message to them so they can be obedient and have that home in heaven that we're striving for. And we ask that you be with us as we go through this new evangelism program and try to help us have a good attitude in the things that we're doing in it, and try to expound and send out the gospel to all corners of this our small area here, and welcome new people to the congregation, and help them to strive to find out what they need to do to be saved. We pray for the leaders of our country, the leaders of the countries throughout the world. We pray that they will come together and keep you in their decision-making process to strive for peace and harmony throughout the world. And we ask that you watch over these individuals, for we know they have a hard job to do. We pray for the ones that have gone back to school, the ones that are starting new jobs, the ones that are going to and fro and just in their everyday walks of life that sometimes are dissatisfied and dismayed, but we know that you're watching over them and you can help them to relieve of that problem if they only let you be in control. We ask now that you go with us to the rest of this service, go with us as a small meeting that we're having coming up, and always guide us and always bring us back at the next appointed time. And all these things we ask in Jesus' name, amen.
Okay, be seated, please. Oh, you are. Good. What we're doing right now is that if you have your prayer list with you, and again, we encourage you to bring that with you all the time, we're going to reach out to particular people on our prayer list. Now, you know on your prayer list more than I, and maybe you don't have yours with you this morning, but you'll, if